There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another first edition of the Unique Geek's couple of days of Southern Fried Gaming Convention, right? I got the name right? I think so. Lee, did I get it right?
Yes.
Southern Fried Game Room Expo.
Expo. It's not a convention. This is a special episode. We're going to do a couple of these of featuring the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, as our guest just mentioned, which takes place in Atlanta over in June the 10th through the 12th, I believe, if I'm correct. Yeah, so that's what it says on the website. So, Lee, how have you been, by the way? We haven't talked
I know we haven't talked in like forever. Well, I have been great. I have been crazy because I decided that I wanted to go back to school and get a master's degree. So that's why you haven't heard my voice, if you've been kind of wondering, or you've been happy that you haven't. I have been doing a master's degree, but I have a little bit of a break. And so we are popping this in right now. So we're doing that, and it's all been great. And I still have a dog and a 16-year-old kid and everything else. A 16-year-old going on 27, 30, whatever year old.
And you were recently featured on Judge Sean Hodgman, weren't you?
Yes, we were. I didn't really mention that a lot, but yes, my son and I have been having an ongoing argument. And if you want to look it up, you can actually find it. It was probably about two or three episodes of Judge John Hodgman ago. So yes, we have an argument about whether or not, what kind of vehicular transportation my son should be having.
And more specifically, who should be paying for it?
Kind of both, and specifically who should be paying for it, which I just think is hysterical. So that's where we are. So no, it's been great. And I'm starting to get in con season.
Yes.
Because went to one and now I'm going to be going to another that is rather new. And my husband is very excited about it because it's about gaming. And then getting ready for Dragon Con, which is really
like
100 days away, somewhere in that area.
Oh, I guess I should know that.
Not yet. You don't have to know yet. That's what I should know.
You know what winds up happening is, you know this, it sneaks up on us. We're like, oh, maybe we should start recording something.
Yeah, maybe at some point we should start talking to each other again. But yeah, so that's good. But
that's not what we're not here to talk about Dragon Con, but we are here to talk about something going on in Atlanta.
We're here to talk about...
Yeah.
What?
So, no, go. You had it.
We are here to talk about a different con, which is, as you said, the Southern Fried Game Room Expo.
There we go.
And we're here with Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hello, John and Lee.
Yay, we're glad you're on. So the SFGE, which is what I've been calling it, because I...
Don't!
We lost Lee.
I would like to say that I'm surprised, but not really. So the Southern Fried Game Room Expo, she'll figure it out and get back on in a second. Tell us a little bit about it. Where is it taking place? Obviously, I mentioned that it's taking place on June 10th through the 12th, but give us a little bit of background on it and where it's at.
Sure, John. So yeah, it is going to be coming up very soon on the weekend of June 10th through the 12th right here. It's going to be right here in Atlanta. It's going to be at a hotel on the north side of Atlanta called the Renaissance Atlanta Waverly. And this is a homegrown, family-friendly gaming convention created by gaming fans for the gaming community in the Southeast.
Now, when you say gaming, you're actually not just referring to, let's say, many of our listeners might think gaming is either maybe just video gaming. Others might think it's role playing. But you're actually covering a lot of ground, right?
So, yeah, we started off really being focused on classic and modern pinball machines and stand up coin op video games. And retro console games as well. And that we got our first year, we got such a huge reception from the community around us. And it was such a huge success that we have been able to grow that. We have been able to add more space and add more more types of games. And this year, and this has always been in the plans, we just couldn't do it our first 2 years for space reasons and growth reasons. But this year, we're actually adding board gaming to that mix. So we have a whole tabletop and board gaming area, and we're looking forward to bring in that that really passionate group of gamers together at Southern Fried Game Room Expo, where they can come and board game all they want. We'll have it open 24 hours, or they can go and go to sessions and panels, or they can go in the main game room and play, you know, 200, 250 pinball machines and stand up arcade video games.
Well, that's what I want to ask. Mm-hmm. How do you get 200 or so pinball and big gaming machines? I mean, do you have these in your garage? You can't use it, or...
Yeah, I wish. It would be so much easier if we owned all of these these classic games.
Except that you'd never get anything done.
That's right, exactly. I know the some of the shows around the country, they actually do have people who run them that they have this huge collection, and they just bring all those to the show floor and they have their show. We're not that fortunate. We rely on a very passionate community of collectors from right here in Atlanta, but really around the Southeast, you know, and they bring the games to share. They want to share, they want to share their games and spread the joy of discovery with new fans from really all ages. Because I mean, there's kids that come that they've never even seen a pinball machine, and it's just really fun to watch a whole generation of gamers play some of these classic machines.
It's funny. My me and my son finally made it over there to there's a place called Replay Museum here in just down the road, really, from me, about 30 minutes. And they have a ton of old, arcade games and a ton of pinball machines. Right. And, I thought, well, okay, maybe he'll be interested a little bit. Cause kids are these days are kind of jaded by the amount of graphics that they get versus the, 8-bit that we were lucky to have. Mm-hmm. We had a blast. He had a blast there the whole time. I mean, playing pinball the whole 9 yards. I mean, it was a great time. So,
yeah, it is a lot of fun. And we really try to make it family friendly for that very reason. So to answer your question, in short, collectors from all over the Southeast bring their games, and we put them all in free play. You get a pass, or you pay for your day ticket at the door, and you come into the game room, and everything's on free play. There's no quarters or tokens involved.
Wow. I love that idea. I just went to the National Video Game Museum. We were in Dallas, Texas, and got to go there during its first week of opening. And it was rather interesting to see some of those old games. They will not have as many as you. I think they maybe had 20 or so. Mm-hmm. Throughout the exhibit, they had a lot of different games, but like in a game room that they had set up, I mean, 20 to 30, I don't remember. But my son and I both realized, because I was terrible at it as a kid, I'm much better now. I love Duck Hunt. Yes. I thought that was the greatest game ever. So I'm just like, and we were both like, I wonder if we could get a very old Atari and an old shooter and play Duck Hunt at our house. That would be a lot of fun. And he was like, the dog only laughs at you. The dog doesn't like talk to you. I'm like, no, this is all that happens. And he's like, huh? Yeah. But he still kind of got a little addicted, and we were trying to figure out how fast it goes and everything. So very cool.
You know, we exhibited, we had a table at a local Atlanta toy show called Joe Lanta. The Atlanta Toy Convention, and we had a table there, and we brought for the table for the exhibit booth, we brought a Nintendo with an old console TV and a Duck Hunt.
You even brought the console TV, was it?
Oh yeah. And so we had that there, and the kids loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they played that Duck Hunt the whole time.
That's an interesting point, because I never quite understood the technology behind the Duck Hunt. Does it require that it have to be a CRT in order for that to work?
Absolutely. It will not work on LCD flat panel screens.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I threw away all my CRTs, so.
Yeah, they're hard to find. You know, we have a room of 25 or 30 retro console games, everything from Atari Pong up until, a couple of generations of Wii ago, Nintendo Wii. And so we have, for many of those old games, they require these CRTs, and they certainly look the best to hook up. So we have to go around to thrift shops and buy CRT TVs for this retro console room. Yeah. And load those in.
Let me ask you this, though. How much do those normally cost, the CRTs these days? Because, I mean, I know I drive by like a thrift shop that's like a church thrift shop, and they say TV's $5. I can imagine those are only CRTs.
Yes. So $5 is a good price. $8 is okay. $12 is too expensive.
Wow.
Yeah. But, you know, it's not the money there. It's the – they're so heavy. And,
well, that's just what I'm thinking. Right? You've got to pull those in. You know, at least with the video games, you know, you've got the little trolley thing and you're putting them in that way.
Yeah.
But with those TVs, you're just picking those suckers up.
Yep.
There's no trolley to pull them in.
Thankfully, we have a very, very – very enthusiastic cadre of volunteers, troopers that help us out with this.
Well, speaking of volunteers,
goodness. I can't imagine how heavy those TVs are now. Can you? I'm looking over at my TV now and going, no, I can actually pick my TV up. Not that I want to, because then I'll drop it and break it. But wow. Oh God, I remember all those. Those were so big and heavy. Oh my God.
So speaking of volunteers, are you still looking for volunteers, or are you set there?
Absolutely. We could use some more volunteers, and we have volunteer incentives, and there's a volunteer page on the Southern Fried Game Room Expo.com where folks can go and you earn free passes. And we do a lot like Dragon Con, to where if you volunteered last year and you sign up, you get a free shirt. So go ahead and get your name in there and help us out and earn some passes. It'll be great, and a t-shirt.
That's cool. I did
have another question, because this has been burning in the back of my head since he mentioned pinball. What is your favorite pinball game?
That is a great question. My favorite pinball game is, pinball collectors would know this, but mine is called Bride of Pinbot. Actually, the technical word is the machine Bride of Pinbot. And it is a game that features a sexy robot on the back glass. And in fact, the whole play field is sort of geared around the sexy robot. And the idea behind the game is to bring her to life. And
My God.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a really great theme and really fun to do. And that's definitely my favorite. But there are so many great pinball machines out there that everybody has their favorite. And sometimes those shift around by year. And the great thing is that pinball is still being manufactured.
Oh yeah.
There are several new companies on the scene who are making new games. There's one company that's been there for a long time, and they're still making new games. But pinball has had very much a resurgence lately. And actually, you guys would be interested in knowing that Stern Pinball, which has been traditionally they're the old school pinball folks who have been in the longest right now. They are just releasing a Ghostbusters pinball machine. And we will have that at Southern Fried Game Room Expo.
Ooh. So going on that line, do you have like an exhibitor hall where video game makers and pinball machine makers can actually show or you can purchase their wares in that way? And then we'll talk about a dealer's room, but like more for like the actual, I've always wanted to figure out how much a pinball machine would cost and, you know.
Yes, So the show does have vendors. I'm gonna call vendors and dealers the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have those, and we don't have a separate room for those.
Oh, okay.
Those are actually integrated into our show. They're integrated into the main game room.
Oh, okay. Very cool. So you could be playing the game and being then possibly buying it.
Yes.
At some point.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. So there's folks who are, reps for pinball manufacturers, and they're going to be there, you know, trying to sell new games. And Lee, I'll tell you, they'll sell the ones that have been on the floor. They've just been played at the show, and you can take those home for a discount.
You know, and we
especially
just got
since
a
they
storage.
Don't have to load them back up and bring them themselves.
Yeah, they don't want to. Yeah, it's ever so much easier
you
if
lift
just
it.
Take it instead of us put it in.
That's right.
Patrick will let you have all the CRTs you want as long as you take them away.
I really want a TV. Can I give you $7 for it? Deal. Sold. You carry it. We're not carrying it anymore. No, that would be, yeah. And we now have a storage space, and I'm like, ooh boy, just to put a pinball machine in there until we get a game room at some point in our house. Not what I ever need. That's a bad idea. So, and you also have dealers along with these vendors as well, right?
We have various dealers. And exhibitors that, you know, parts dealers, or there's a vendor that we have that makes light boxes to backlight the old classic marquees that were on top of video games. So, you know, Pac-Man, Defender, what have you, you know, they had the light up parts at the top, the marquee. So
they
he
did.
Makes light boxes for those. Yeah. You know, the little banner at the top that lights up and says Pac-Man, and it draws you in. So he makes custom light boxes for those and sells those for folks' house. So
that's neat. Mm-hmm. That's just what I need in my den too.
Yeah, they're very decorative.
Very decorative. So very cool. So all right. So this year you have new things with board games. So people are, how are you kind of running your board game room? Can you just give us? I know we're going to talk more to a board game person later, but you know, you just kind of come in.
Yeah. So it'll be a wide open space with table set up for board games, and there'll be a lending library, much like at Dragon Con, and you can go and check out a game with your driver's license. There's plenty of gaming manufacturers coming in doing game demos, and there's going to be play and win events where you play a game and you can win a copy of it. So yeah, you know, quite a bit of activity around board gaming.
Board gaming is a mother and a wife of people that love board gaming. It is. I did not realize how big board gaming still was. And we're not talking Monopoly people. We're not talking Sorry. You know, everything from Settlers of Catan, which I think is one that a lot of people know, up to, I'm trying to think of the most esoteric one I've seen. Well, one they just got is called Istanbul, which is a game about basically the markets of Istanbul. And you trying to get all the treasures you can get in the market. And it's really neat. I mean, there are amazing games out there.
There really are. There really are. And a wide variety of
games. Yeah. Because I think I always thought of board games. You know, I thought of the Monopoly and the Sorry and the things like that. But with my husband, I've realized there have always been these other board games, and a lot of Steve Jackson games may have been really small, but they were that kind of an idea of setting up your own board using, you know, here's this little tiny game, but you had to set up your own board as it were with a piece of graph paper and stuff like that. So, I mean, these have been around forever too. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. And when you play, my experience was when I first played Settlers of Catan, I realized how terribly bad those other games were, the Sorry and Monopolies were. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a new universe for me.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. And I always just want to say to people that, you know, get your kids into that kind of stuff. We started with our son pretty young, and it really does help with that strategic, logical and logistical thinking. It's cool. I mean, John, you guys have a family board night every week. So.
Yeah, every Sunday night we have a family game night, and we rotate who gets to pick. And in fact, because I actually went to the eye doctors today, and one of, you know, says list your hobbies. One of the hobbies I put down video gaming and board gaming, and the guy's like, oh, I didn't know people still played board games. But then again, he went on to tell me about how every time he gets together with his family, they play Settlers of Catan or Ticket to Ride or
See, like, they don't, and people don't think of those as board games. Those are just as much, and King of Tokyo, which is hysterically funny to play because you get a little monster thingy that you're playing.
So
they get to eat places.
I counted the box board games that I have in the house now, and we're at 53.
53.
Wow. So then we have the card games, which I wasn't really counting. Although I did, I guess I did count the boxed versions of Munchkin that we have. So.
Yeah. Like, oh God. See, we don't even Munchkin. It's not a board game, but it is. I would assume it's probably going to be there. People will bring their little Munchkins and play whatever. Do you guys have the rule? No, whatever it is. What's it? What is it? No magic on the floor or something? What is it that you can't play on the floor? Because it'll just be like people playing coming in there. Werewolf. No werewolf on the floor. No werewolf on the floor.
We don't have that rule.
Okay.
If we need to have that rule, we will.
We will. No werewolf on the floor. Okay, so then...
You mentioned Munchkin.
Yes, Munchkin.
So the guy who did the art for Munchkin is going to be at the show.
Ooh,
sweet.
John Kovalak.
Wow.
That is neat. Oh, the Munchkin art. The Munchkin art is amazingly adorable. And so many now, there are so many more card games that like that. Exploding Kittens is one of my new favorites. I like Exploding Kittens. I like the Safe for Work and the Not Safe for Work version. So Exploding Kittens is really hysterical. So that's good. So you'll be playing Munchkin there and you have some guests there. I don't want to get too much, but you do have, I don't think you guys do have panels and talks that are going on.
We do. We have a whole weekend full of those. You know, it's everything from film screenings to special guests we have a live, actually we're going to have two live game shows this year. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun for, you know, there's something to do for everyone. And that's our goal.
That is the goal. And I like how it is a very, very family friendly thing. But let's talk about the times that aren't as family friendly, because some of us like to, you know, put the teenager to bed and maybe want to go do something as an adult with an adult beverage. What do you have kind of is the after hours part now? Have you
absolutely
expanded that?
Yes. So we early on, and I need to mention my, my planners, my fellow organizers. For the first 2 years, our vision, and until now, our vision has been that at this show, people who come for the weekend cannot play, stand up and play pinball and video games for all hours of the day and night. It's just impossible to do. No one would want to do it. So we want to provide, as I mentioned, these other things for people to do. But we also, our goal was to provide a really, really rich nightlife. And with that goal in mind, we have added, we have four concerts this year during the nightlife. Friday and Saturday night. So there'll be two concerts each Friday and Saturday night. And we have a really fun late night rock band where there is quite a bit of adult beverages flowing and get up. And we just put up, you know, a couple of projector screens, hook it up to the big audio system on the stage, and we have a full rock band set up there. And that has been really, really popular for people to come and play. And this year, for the first year, on Friday night, SFGE has added 100% more wrestling to the docket.
Oh, geez.
And people say, well, gosh, what does that have to do with video games? But it's really just a great form of entertainment. And we raised our eyebrows when we saw that on the agenda at Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm.
Myself and my fellow organizers, and we were like, oh my gosh, wrestling, what does that have to do with this? and then we went, and we have not stopped going back every year to the wrestling event at Dragon Con. And so when the local wrestling group, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, called and said, hey, have you ever thought about having a wrestling event at SFGE? We were like, yes.
Well, no, but now, yes. Yes, yes, we have.
Yes. And so we were able to work it out space wise and with them. And I think that people are really going to be surprised at how much fun a wrestling event can be at a gaming show.
I see these people dressed up like the old school wrestlers, and I just see Candyland in my head. So you've got like the mud monster is one of them, and then Princess Candy Mountain or whatever, and just fighting each other. That would be hysterical. Sorry, that's what's in my head right now. I'm a terrible, weird person, but it really is. So that's kind of cool. Okay, sorry. So wrestling. So
yes,
and wrestling.
Have you guys been to wrestling at Dragon Con?
I have not, but I do have a friend that goes every year and swears by it.
Yeah, I have not, but I know many a person who goes and is just like, because I'm usually working or doing something else while that's going on, unfortunately. Sure. But yes, I know a lot of people who that's how they kick off their Dragon Con, that they are just waiting there. They, as they say, Dragon Con doesn't start until they've seen wrestling. And I'm like, really? And they're like, no, really, you don't understand. That's the real kickoff we do. And I'm like, okay, they go. Hey, it's fine. I'm glad everybody enjoys something. And I always think it's fun if you can find something that everybody can go, yay, we really like this, and find more things. What's been amazing to me is when I've talked to other people about this and said, you know, there's this thing going on. I've been amazed at how many people and across so many different groups and different ages have been like, there's a video game, there's a gaming conference or a video game or a pinball, because they're just like, I love games like that. And it's like, well, yeah, it's all here. And so handing out the little things and everybody being all excited. I mean, you guys have a pretty big group. You guys have grown because you just moved to a new hotel.
We have, you know, the first year we had about 1,800 people there over the weekend. Our goal was 1,000 the first year. And so we were really pleased with that. And then the second year we had about 2,400 there over the weekend. And we just ran out of space there.
Yeah.
We had to turn away games at the old place, at the old hotel convention place. We had a power issue. They just didn't have any more power to give us. And so this year we said, okay, no more of that, and we have doubled our space this year. And we won't have any power problems, so we're expecting, and again, opening up to the tabletop gaming folks, you know, we're expecting to have, you know, draw more people in, and we're really happy about that. The more the merrier,
because it's always so much fun to meet new people that enjoy what you enjoy. I mean, that's always a tough thing to find, but when you find it, you're just like, yay, my tribe. I found my tribe. I'm so happy.
Yeah. You know, that's one of the things that I guess in cons in general is that these are people with like-minded interest, and you're going there and you're going to have a good time. And you know, with rare exceptions, you probably see them more than I do, Lee, but with rare exceptions, everybody's having a really good time.
Oh yeah.
And that really makes the whole thing so much more fun.
Yes, it does. And I've seen in my 20 years, this is my 20th year. It's hard to believe, but in my 20 years of being in cons and being with cons, I only think I've ever seen less than a handful of people. I think I could count them on not one hand that are not having a good time. And most of those people, because it's like, I didn't realize what it would be, and I can't get to everything I wanted, which upsets people. Or this is way too many people for me. I've got to find a smaller one. And I'm like, and guess what? There are smaller ones too. What do you want to do? And so that helps people go, oh, they're not all this, they're not all that big. They're not all that small. You know, it depends on what size you want. There are a lot of cons out there, and there are a lot of different groups. So it's, you know, you'll find the one, you'll find your Goldilocks zone. There's one that's just right.
Absolutely.
So this is so cool. I am so excited. So we're going to be doing a couple more of these. Going to do one. I think it would be really good if we could talk about some of the programming, and especially some of the special programming, because I'm going to tease people. There's something really neat that they're doing, and I'm teasing it because I got to find out about it earlier. Ha ha ha. And it's really cool that they'll be doing on programming. And then maybe to talk some more about exactly which board games they're looking at, because I think so many people don't understand. And how board games kind of, again, transcend ages and things like that too, because there's so many out there that you can play as a family, or, you know, there are family ones, and then there are ones that, you know, you can kind of start early on your kids and challenge them. So I always think that's good. How about you, John?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was also wanted to make sure that we cover this too. You have bring your own game. I believe you're talking about the video game, the consoles or whatnot.
Yes.
And is that still something that pinball machines, I imagine, is that something that you're still looking for? Or?
Yes, absolutely. We still have room for more. We have not had to turn away games this year, but we do have some great incentives for folks who want to, you know, go to the trouble and you know, bring their games, whether it be a console game that we don't have listed on there, or also, you know, a pinball machine that you have, or a stand-up video game. And so you can see all of those incentives and how to sign up for that on the Southern Fried Game Room Expo.com main page.
No, you go first, John.
And speaking of that, what are the ticket prices, and what kind of hotel room deals do you have going?
All right, great question. Our hotel room block, it's a discounted block at $114 a night. It's a very nice hotel, so that's a really good price. And we are getting close to selling that block out. So if folks are interested in coming to it, go ahead and make your reservation under that discounted rate. So tickets are Friday night. The daily ticket for adults is $30 and $15 for kids. And Saturday is $30 for adults and $15 for kids also. But Sunday is a little bit shorter day. We go 9 to 3 on Sunday to allow people to have time to get their games back home from around the Southeast. And that is $20 for adults and also $15 for kids. But we do have a 3-day adult weekend pass available, and that's $60. And the 3-day child weekend pass is $30.
And guys, that is, I want you to think about when you used to go to the video game place and how many quarters you would spend in like 2 hours. If you were me and you were not very good at this, you ran out of quarters before you ran out of time.
I told my son I never ate lunch at school because on the way to school, there was a Pickwick, 7-Eleven, whatever you want to call it. It was a Pickwick when I was a kid. That had a couple of video games. Most specifically, the ones I remember are Commando, Tron, of course, and Dragon's Lair. Those are the ones that I remember vividly. And because Commando, because I could never get past the freaking first level. I would always die like right around the bridge. If anybody's known about this, knows the game. I always die there. I don't know why. Anyway,
and I'll just mention that kids 7 and under are free.
Oh,
woo!
That's
nice.
So,
but yeah, I spent all my money. I spent all my lunch money.
You never would eat lunch because you would spend your money playing video games at 7-Eleven on the way to school.
Yeah.
That's the era we grew up in, man. That's great.
I didn't have any.
That's
other
the
way
era I grew up in too, but I still ate lunch at school and didn't play video games. But see, I was crappy at video games. I was awful at them.
But I will say that price that you the $60 is a good deal. That's a great deal.
That is a really awesome deal. It really is a good one. And the one other thing I want to tell people is this hotel is really near. It's in the Galleria Convention Center. Mm-hmm. So in Atlanta, that's an area where you've got a lot of different food choices. There are a lot of restaurants right in that area, and I think this one is kind of connected to the Galleria Mall, or at least close enough for walking. I can't remember.
It absolutely is. It's connected to the Galleria Mall. Well, there's a small food court.
Yes, and there's a small food court there, and there's lots and lots of other food choices around. So,
and there's a walkway to Cumberland Mall where there's a much larger food court.
That's the walkway I'm thinking about, is the Cumberland one, not the Galleria one. So, so this isn't a mall I go to a lot because it's not really close to me where I live, but it's right there, and you got a lot of food choices. You'll have breakfast and lunch choices, probably, and possibly dinner choices in those malls. And then if you do want to go out somewhere else and like sit down somewhere and not be a food court, you got a lot of choices for that. All your whole range from, you know, the probably, if I remember correctly, there's an IHOP, which is in like 5-10 minutes walking or driving. And, you know, so everything from an IHOP to a really fancy steak place. So you got whatever you want there. And it's a nice hotel too. So I'm just saying that because, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I go to this hotel and there's, you know, I go to this convention, there's nothing around other than the convention, the hotel restaurant to eat. And you do not have that issue here. So just letting you know that. And it's complimentary parking.
I was just about to say that. It's the same exact thing.
Sorry.
No.
No, it's complimentary parking, so don't worry about that. And but yeah, so if you do come and you stay at the hotel, of which Patrick, you've pretty much convinced my husband that's what we're doing.
Fantastic. Yes, staycation.
He's so excited. He's just, he can't, you say you can't play games 24/7 or 24/3. My husband would try to do it. I mean, he really would. He loves them so much and he likes the video games, but he really loves the board gaming. And so
he'll be sitting on the board gaming area.
He'll be sitting on the board gaming area. Take a short nap between, you know, while you're setting up the next game and then be ready to get right into it. So I think that's great. And I love that it's family friendly, that, you know, from the time it starts until around 9 p.m. at night, this is going to be pretty family friendly. And it's going to have a lot of people showing off their favorite things and then also just playing them and ignoring everyone around them, too, which is also cool as anything. So I always like that. That's just me.
Well, next time we'll talk more about the specifics of some of the programming and some of the guests. And
I would love to.
I really appreciate you guys, you know, giving me a chance to come on the show and talk about the details of Southern Fried Gamer Expo.
No, thank you. And John, do you have a last question? Because I know you do. I know you came up with
I actually didn't have one, but I will think of one real quick. Okay, if you had to get rid of one pinball machine out of the world, which one would that be?
They can no longer make this kind of pinball. Is that what you're saying?
No. A specific version. I mean, I know that there's ones that I absolutely hated. But I'm curious as to which one that you, if you had to get rid of a particular pinball machine, which one would you get rid of? Which do you think is the worst pinball machine you've ever played? I guess is what I'm asking.
Wow, that's a great question. And I'm not sure I am quick enough to have an answer to that. I'm not going to give you the answer you're looking for, John, but I will tell you that there is a certain class of pinball machines that I really have no desire or patience for.
What's that?
So in the late 70s, manufacturers were transitioning from the electromechanical type games that, you know, had no solid state components. They were all relays and wires and solenoids, and they had the score displays that were on wheels that went ching, 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 ching. Yeah. And the sounds were chimes instead of, you know, electronic sounds. So they were transitioning their games to what we call solid state games, where there was actually, you know, digital music and digital scorekeeping and rules that were written, you know, like a computer language, like in a computer code. So during that time, during that awkward time, there were some games that were designed to be like the old electromechanical ones, which couldn't have complex rules because there just wasn't any place to put those. And then this electronic version, so the solid state version. So what you had was you had this series of games where they were really, really boring to play and didn't have a lot of features and had rule sets that weren't very deep. And they have electronic scoring, you know, and beeping and maybe a little, you know, some sound effects, electronic sound effects. And because it was first generation of solid state and electronic machines, they're not very reliable. So they're not fun to play and they're not very reliable. And so they get a bad mark from me, in my opinion. I'm sure I've made pinball collectors mad out there, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I'll tell you the pinball game that I actually hate. It actually showed up at, like I said, I went to Replay Museum. It's actually there too. And I'm sure that a lot of people like it, but it's the black hole pinball.
Blasphemy.
I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, I get the gimmick.
Okay, wait.
I get the gimmick that you go down to the other thing, but it just seems like there's not much to it other than that one little thing.
Yep. I know what you mean, but it is awfully a cool one little thing.
Well, it is. Yeah, it's interesting. But
yeah, so Lee, it's a game, you know, obviously a space-based game. It has a big turning sort of black hole in the back box. And it has a lower play field that the ball goes down where you can play in like a basement. And then it shoots it back up when you lose it down there. So that's sort of its one trick.
And I guess it's also because when I played it in the arcade back in the mid-80s, I suppose. I guess it was. I just no good at it. Just horrible at
it. You're not good at
it's hard.
It gets down to the bottom and it just shoots right back out again because, I mean, I can't follow. I mean, there's not a ton of I don't know what you would call it, gadgetry on it. It's just, or bumpers or whatnot. There's a few bumpers and the lower play field, as you point out. And I just never got it. I could never quite grasp my head around it. And so then I lost a lot of money playing it because, of course, because I hated it, I had to play it lots.
So, John, there's a similar game made by Gottlieb right around the same time called Haunted House. I don't know if you played that one, but it's very similar, except it has a third level. So it has a top play field, the mid main play field, and then the lower, the lower one. And that one is that one's a lot more fun because it has that third
oh play. Yeah, I have played this before. I just looked it up. Now
I have no idea what y'all are talking. There were half naked ladies on the pinball machines that I always saw, so I don't even know what y'all are talking about.
I have played this one before too. Yeah.
You guys are this is awesome.
Anyway,
I love it.
All right, so Patrick, again, tell everyone where they can get more info.
So southernfriedgameroomexpo.com. That's all one word. And there's all the information there about where it is, how you can make hotel reservations, about the speakers that we have coming, about vendors. Just everything is there. The games that are currently signed up, there's a list of those. Ticket prices are there. You can actually buy your ticket online there.
And it's very quick. I just did it.
Oh, great. And we're also going to be publishing the schedule here very soon, within the next couple of days.
Woo-hoo! Oh, great. Great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And yes, you do need volunteer. It's very easy. There's a registration button, and you can click there, and it also talks about, you know, that's how you could register, but then there's an easy way to be a volunteer. This is a really easy site. I like it.
Oh, good. Thank you. Our my fellow organizers have worked really hard on that, and they're highly skilled. So I got to give all the credit to them.
Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering where the volunteer thing is, it's under event. But, you know, go on and buy the ticket. Come on, dude. $60, 3 days. Buy the ticket.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, and it really is going to be a lot of fun. I am very, very, I am really excited about it. I get to go to a con as just an attendee. I'm so excited about that. I can't stand it.
She won't. She'll start volunteering. Don't worry about it.
If something's needed, I'll help. But no, actually, my son and my husband are both volunteering. So we've already got two of them volunteering.
All right. So, Patrick.
So this is awesome. We're so excited. And yes, we will talk more and give you more information soon. Teasers.
So until next time, Patrick, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
And thank you very much.
And until next time, this is John for Lee and Patrick saying peace.
Bye-bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.